How do you measure a giant snowpack in the mountains? Answer, with lasers. In California, scientists on planes are mapping one of the biggest snow accumulations ever in the Sierra Nevada mountains. And they're asking, how fast is it melting? Because melting could lead to flooding. Let's get two voices on this. First, snow scientist Thomas Painter is founder of the laser imaging company Airborne Snow Observatories. He developed this technology for NASA. Thomas Painter, welcome.
Thanks very much.
I gather the snowpack in parts of the Sierras are triple the normal amount for this time of year after record snow and rain out west. Does it blow you away when you fly over and look at it?
Well, absolutely. The first thing is when we fly over, we're just able to see the difference in this year from previous years. The cliffs that ordinarily would be sticking out, many of them are buried. And it just looks like a very different landscape. It looks like the icy ball from the Star Wars movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You have developed this technology to map and to measure the snowpack. First of all, why is this important to do?
Well, originally we started this at NASA to fill in a void in our science knowledge. We really didn't know the spatial distribution of snow water equivalent. And snow water equivalent is just how much water there would be if you instantly melted the snowpack down. And so we developed the technology to fill in that science void, but we started doing this from the very beginning also in partnership with water managers in the West, because we knew that this was going to be so critical to their demands. In the Western U.S., about 65 to 75% of the annual precipitation falls as snow. So snowpack itself is critical to sustaining civilization in the West, and being able to know how much there is and how fast it's going to come off is absolutely critical to being able to manage it.
And for the rest of us, describe a little bit how you do it. I gather you use laser LIDAR technology, which is also, I think, what the self-driving cars use?
That's exactly right. And so we fly lasers and spectrometers from about 23,000 feet over mountain basins. And the lasers are spraying out about 580,000 pulses per second. And we're able to measure how long it takes for the laser pulse to come back, which then allows us to map the topography of the snow surface. We've flown it before when there's no snow on the ground, and the difference between the two is the snow depth. Then we bring in information about snow density across the entire mountain basin, and depth times density is the snow water equivalent. So we're able to do this every 50 meters across the mountain basin. And that allows us to know where the snowpack is and likewise to be able to add it up. The spectrometer gives us the ability to measure the reflected sunlight from the snowpack. And a lot of people think about temperature melting snow, but really it is the absorbed sunlight, about 90 to 95% of the energy that goes into melting snow comes from absorbed sunlight. So knowing how clean or dirty the snowpack is, how small the grains are or big the grains are, gives us the ability then to forecast how quickly the snowpack is going to melt and then how quickly the runoff is going to come.
And just briefly, based on the speed of the melting that you observe, are you worried about flood risk in certain places?
We really are. I'm sitting here looking at my computer screen with one of the reports for the Merced Basin, which is Yosemite, the main core of Yosemite National Park. We have seen in the lower elevation, so from about 7,000 feet and lower, much of that snowpack has melted off. But if we look at 8,000 and higher, most of that still remains up there. And in fact, from about 9,000 feet higher, almost none of it has melted off yet. And this is sitting in the part of the Sierra Nevada where the record snowfall has happened. And so we still have a lot of snow waiting up there. I know everybody's trees are blooming and their flowers are coming up, but here in the mountains, it's still wintry and there's still that snowpack hanging there like a sword of Damocles mm-hmm. waiting to come melting off.
That's snow scientist Thomas Painter of Airborne Snow Observatories. Let's now go to the ground level. Antoni Oliveira, he's a community leader, professor, and farmer in the small town of Lemoore in California's San Joaquin Valley, and the place is called the Island District, surrounded by three rivers. Tony, I'm curious, what did you hear from Thomas Painter just now that caught your ear?
Well, it couldn't have painted, so to speak, a perfect picture, because where I live, 200 and some families live in this island district, and we're surrounded by three rivers, and you have to take one of nine bridges to get out. And matter of fact, this morning, the inflow to Pine Flat Dam is greater than the outflow by about 9,000 acre feet of 9,000 acre feet of water a day. So now it's a guessing game of how much snow is there. So we take Thomas's information. They calculate that. You can only put so much water down the river before you breach it.
Can I ask you about the people in your community, people who are watching this one way or the other? Are they nervous about the flood risk this spring?
Yeah. If you lived inside the island district, you are watching it every day. I live 210 feet from a river. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's on the minds of everyone. They talk to each other every day. They watch it. People have prepared physically here by sandbagging around their homes. They've sandbagged their wells. Some, depending on where you are in the flood zone, some people have moved their stuff, higher in the house. I really think that the probability of a major disaster of flooding in the island district is shrinking day by day.
Okay.
But that's not the same of the people in Corcoran. Corcoran is south of us, and that's the home of the great Tulare Lake Basin that everybody talks about.
Oh, this is the lake that dried up many years ago and has now reappeared for the first time in decades, yeah? Because of all this water?
Yeah, there's roughly 30 to 40,000 acres covered in water right now.
Wow.
And that'll continue to flow for several more months. And, you know, the speculation is that some of that water will be there for 2 years.
Wow. And this is farmland. What happens to the farmers now?
Well, you don't farm that land. There's some larger farmers down there, but to be honest with you, most of the farmers down there are family farms. And even the larger farmers down there are privately owned. You got to feel in your heart for them, because they've worked hard for all these years.
Yeah.
But like I say, this is the natural flow of where the water is going to go. And that's the reason you need to mitigate. You don't want to send any more water down that way than you have to. They're working every day building up the levees around the entire city. But like I say, when the threat is off us, which is 30 miles north of them, and it's flowing through us, it continues to those people in that area, because as long as these rivers are flowing, they're going to continue to take water. We don't know where that's going to end up. We took pictures there yesterday, and you would think you were at an ocean, because you can't see the other side.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. And Tony, one last quick question. How do you think about preparing for the future? Do you anticipate this whiplash? Some years there will be water everywhere, and then suddenly some years there's hardly any at all.
Yeah, it will be. I think whiplash is the greatest word that you could use on this, is because we're going to have these cycles. You know, they're already talking about El Nino for next year, which could be hotter and wetter. So what we have to do, we have to use technology like Thomas's and others that's provided, so we can plan for this.
That's Tony Oliveira, professor, community leader, and farmer who lives in the town of Lemoore in California's San Joaquin Valley. Tony, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.